Colossians in the third chapter. I've entitled our message this morning, Developing a Heavenly Mindset. Now, I preached this several years ago when I preached through the book of Colossians, but I thought it would be a good text for us as New Year's approaching. It would be a good text for us to be challenged by the Apostle Paul as he challenged those in Colossae. Let's read verses 1 through 4. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let me ask you a few questions. Just in this past week, how many of you thought about heaven? Thought about eternity? About things above, not on things of the earth? How many of you are trying to gain a heavenly or biblical perspective of some of the struggles that you're presently having? The basis of these questions flows out of the text that I just read in your hearing and reflected in the song by Jim Reeves several years ago. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That perfectly reflects what I just read in that text. Then you have the additional text that say, where Paul says, Philippians 3, 20, 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from which you also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may conform to his glorious body according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. And the writer of Hebrews says that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, the things that I just said in the text that I seek to unpack this morning speaks of what I've called developing a heavenly mindset, which apart from the grace of God, we cannot do without being challenged to do so. For the most part, we are too earthbound, setting our minds on things above. We are preoccupied with things on the earth. That's why it's so significant about our text. It not only reveals that because of being vitally united with Christ in his death and resurrection, we have the ability to develop a heavenly mindset. But it also challenges us to develop a heavenly mindset not only because we are commanded to do so, but because there are so many practical benefits for doing so. It is because of the practical benefits in developing a heavenly mindset that I wanted to try to bring you forth this morning by way of application. I'm very much aware of some of the struggles that many of you are having. And developing a heavenly mindset is probably the furthest things from your mind. I've asked the Holy Spirit for aid in showing us that this heavenly mindset will go a long way in helping us deal with the various issues that you and I struggle with. I hope you have a copy of the outline. First of all, I want to develop a heavenly mindset while living here on the earth by being diligent in pursuing those things that pertain to eternity. Now, the primary clause in verse 1, it says, seek those things which are above. The word seek is a present imperative. Seek and keep on seeking. See, it's a strong word. It means to have an urgent desire. Seek those things which are above as the primary clause, but in this primary clause, the work order in the Greek is reversed for emphasis. Those things which are above, keep on seeking. The things above among those things refers to heaven. That's made clear by the following, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If you're bogged down with temporal matters, you're probably saying, I can't do this. I'm so physically and emotionally worn out, I can't do this. Paul anticipated that some would respond in this way. In other words, he tells us, if we are truly saved, we have a spiritual foundation that will provide us with this diligence. Notice that spiritual foundation is in the first phrase, if you have been raised with Christ. The word if is a participle indicating this has already happened. If in this case does not convey uncertainty, but is referred to as a first-class conditional clause, which assumes that the statement which follows is true. Since you were raised with Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with having forgiven all your trespasses. Romans 6, verse 4 and 5. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For we have united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Being raised with Christ means that as far as seeking those things above, we have the power. We have the resurrection power. We died to the world. We are alive unto God. This is a spiritual foundation that provides this diligence. Fill your mind with this truth. Secondly, spiritual motivation that produces this diligence, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We should seek those things above because of this is where our precious Lord Jesus is. He's not only in heaven, but he's seated at the right hand of God, meaning that he's completed his work of redemption. Hebrews 1, verse 3, for he himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Go over in your mind all the glorious things that Christ has done in you and for you and will do, many of it which are considered in this epistle. Shouldn't the fact that our precious Lord Jesus is in heaven make us want to seek those things above where Christ is? Shouldn't the fact that our Lord Jesus purchased our redemption fully and completely cause us want to thank him and to praise him? Shouldn't the fact that he prays for us, intercedes for us, thinks about us so often that the psalmist said if he should count them, his thoughts toward us is more than the number than the sand. Shouldn't the fact that we love the Lord Jesus because he loved us motivate us to seek those things which are above where Christ is? Secondly, by being more focused on the things of eternity rather than the things that are temporal. And that's really the thrust of the text. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Here we have given greater insight into the previous text. It shows us the only alternative. Seeking those things above is made clear by the set your mind on things above. Set your affections on those things. Setting our minds, our affections on those things involves an act of the will. It's something that we are commanded to do. Living our lives in light of eternity. But we also see the only alternative in setting our mind on things above, and that's the things on the earth, temporal things. Things that are limited to this life only. Why? Because the natural tendency is to be more attached to the things on earth, the here and the now. Things that we can see, things that we can touch and handle, things that are tangible, that we physically experience. As a result, things above, they seem remote, distant, otherworldly. How can I bring myself to turn my mind away from the tangible to that which cannot be seen? Thirdly, by realizing that doing so is the inevitable result of our spiritual condition. Look at verse 3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Just as our spiritual resurrection provided us with the diligence to think those things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, so our spiritual death causes us to realize that setting our things on things above, not on things on the earth, is the inevitable result of our spiritual condition. When we died spiritually, we not only died to sin, but we for this evil world. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Then we come to developing a heavenly mindset by anticipating the return of Christ. There will be a literal appearing of Christ, look at verse 4, when Christ, who are life, appears. Those who are saved will appear with him, and then you also will appear with him. The hidden life is not hidden forever. The writer of Hebrews expresses the aim of the Father as bringing many sons to glory. Remember that song, "Dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine, living for Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus till glory does shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine." Those who appear with him will be like him in glory. Over in John, 1 John 3, 1-3, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope and purifies himself just as he is pure." Let's draw a couple lines of application from that text. The earthly mindset that we are not to set our minds on is deadly to our spiritual condition and our spiritual well-being. It will blind us to the many blessings that God has given us now and will give us in heaven. It will eventually crowd out concern for spiritual matters, for Christ and almost everything that pertains to Christianity. Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conform means to press us into its mold. The world is trying to press us into its mold. Don't let the world press you into the mold. The world is very active and aggressive in pressing us into its mold to conform us to its standards, its priorities, its goals. And if we are not setting our mind on things of God where Christ is, there's only one alternative. Setting our minds on things on the earth. Sad to say that many professed believers' minds are so caught up in the temporal things, they have little time or little appetite for spiritual matters. It will overwhelm us and discourage us when difficult times come. If we set our minds on things on the earth, we will be overwhelmed when difficult times come. We lose spiritual perspective and look at our difficulties with an earthly mindset. This robs us of hope. It blocks out our biblical solutions or counsel. We are left overwhelmed, discouraged, and demoralized. Go over to Psalm 73. You might remember this psalm. Psalm 73. Notice how the psalmist, as he's got his mind set on things of the earth, it becomes totally discouraged. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, and such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pangs in their death, for their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as a necklace. Violence covers them like a garment, and their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish, and scoff, seeking wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily and set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and the waters of full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. And if I said I would speak thus, behold, I have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought about this, to understand this, it was too painful for me. See, now that's what happens when he has his earthly mindset. That's the way it all appears to him. But then all of a sudden, he ends up with an earthly mindset, heavenly mindset. It was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. Oh, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and after receive me into glory. Whom have I heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart my portion. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all your works. You see the difference. When he had an earthly mindset, it seemed like everything was all out of whack. The wicked, the unbeliever, everything was going their way, and he was the one getting the bad deal. Until he began to have that heavenly mindset, then he saw the reality of it. Now, I don't want to dwell too long on the negative, but focus on the things that will be comfort and counsel those who are struggling with difficult issues. Let me ask them, seem to answer two questions. First, how do we go about seeking those things above, setting our minds on things above? How do we do that? Reading, meditating on the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit for insight into His Word. The only place you're going to find what these things above are is in the Bible. The only place you will find any true information about heaven is the Word of God. If you're not reading and meditating on God's Word, you're not seeking those things above. You are not setting your mind on things above, but sad to say, you're setting your mind on things on the earth. So we set our minds on things above by meditating on the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit for insight into His Word. Secondly, spending time in prayer. Spending time in prayer. Did you ever pray the Psalms? The Psalms are prayers written by the Holy Spirit. I want to show you some. The other day, you and Jan and I were having our devotions. We both were thinking about this. As I was finishing up reading the Psalm, go to Psalm 143, please. Look at verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. Now, this is a prayer of David. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Now, notice. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, in you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off all my enemies and destroy those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Look at Psalm 145. Verse 2, every day I will bless you, and I praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to praise, for his greatness is unsearchable. Remember, we're trying to say, how do you go about setting your mind on things above? First, the Word of God, and then prayer. And if you have problems with prayer, pray back the Psalms. There's prayers written by the Holy Spirit. Every day I will bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteous. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. For his tender mercies are over all his works. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up those who are bowed down. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. You see this, how this helps generate things to pray about when we start remembering who God is, who Christ is, and what he's done for us. I like this in over to Psalm 147. Look at verse 4. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. That's amazing. Every star out there that he created, he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. So we see, first of all, how do we go about seeking those things above? Set a great mind, reading and meditating on the Word of God, spending time in prayer, and if you struggle in that area, pray back some of the Psalms that shows the character of God. Secondly, what are the practical benefits of setting our minds on things above? It will put our earthly struggles into a proper perspective. Go to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's why I'm having trouble here. Look at verse 8 of chapter 4. Notice Paul describes some of the great things that he had to deal with. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You see the perspective there. We always say our heavy affliction. You don't know what we're going through. You don't know what I'm having to deal with. I got a load on me that I can't handle. Paul says, no, that's a light affliction. It's never going to end. I'm never going to do better. No, Paul says it's just for a moment. And it's working for us. So that's one of the practical benefits. It will put our earthly struggles into proper perspective. It helps us remember that earthly things are temporal and heavenly things are eternal. For the things that are seen are temporal. Verse 17. But the things that are not seen are eternal. We will be with the Lord forever and ever. We will be with the Lord forever and ever. That ought to really cause us to set our mind on things above. Amen. Remember, face to face with Christ my Savior. What a beautiful hymn that is. We will be with our loved ones that have gone on before us. One day we're going to be with Mark and we're going to be with Rhonda. The Lord was pleased to take them from us. But we praise God that one day we're going to be with them forever and ever and ever. It will teach us to number our days. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. The Holy Spirit often brings this to my mind because of my age. I'll be 84 next month. I try and remind myself that I'll be soon ushered into the presence of the Lord. And I use that reality to resist sin. I don't want to be ashamed when I'm ushered into the presence of the Lord or ushered at his coming. You say, where are you getting that from? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. This implies there will be some. It's possible that we will be ashamed if we're not setting our mind on things above. If we have this completely earthly mindset, he's going to judge our works. And I don't want to be ashamed, because I'm soon going to be ushered into his presence. Like I say, I'll be 84 January 7th. And I don't want to be ashamed when I'm ushered into his presence. Number 7. We will meet all those who became saved, that we witness to knowingly or unknowingly. Years ago when we were on the other church, we had television, we had radio, we had a large tape ministry. I would get letters from all over the world. and how many people we reached, how many got saved, how many people got saved in the years that I've been preaching, how many years will Milton and Milton Fay have when they set out their Bibles and those tracts, how many will they reach? We won't know until we get to heaven. But it's going to be far more than we think. So praise God for that. We need to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Not only because we're commanded, not only because it's helpful, but there's so many practical benefits to it. Let's determine through the work of the Holy Spirit that with this New Year's coming up, that we're going to do all that we can do with the help of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God to keep our minds set on things above and not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean we can divorce ourselves from what's going on in everyday life. We can't do that. But we need to be thinking about eternity. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ praying for us, interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit indwelling us, He prays for us, that we would do whatever we can do by His grace to seek those things above and not the things of the earth. If you haven't done it, make that commitment to the Lord that you're willing to give everything over to Him. I told this once before, but I know when I was first, Jan and I were first married, my dad said to me, he said, "Tom, you know, you claim to be saved ever since you were a young boy, but you don't seem to manifest any. You just grumble and complain all the time." I says, "Yeah, that's right." He says, "You ever got to a point where you committed and gave everything over to the Lord?" I said, "No, I'll never do that." He says, "Why not?" "Because He might want to take one of my children and call me into the ministry. And I'm not interested in either one." But one day, Jan and I got down on our knees and we prayed and said, "Lord, we give You everything that we have. We give You ourselves. We give You our family. We give You everything that we are, everything that we own to You. The only thing we ask for, if there's difficult times coming, that You would give us the grace to get through it. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." Let's bow in prayer. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this text of Scripture. There's so much in Your Word. You start to unpack a text of Scripture and you keep on going because there don't seem to be an end to it. But thank You for the ability to do that. I pray that we will seek to do just what the text says. If we've been saved, we'll set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. Think about heaven. Think about Christ. Think about living godly and holy before Him so we are not ashamed at His coming. Challenge every one of our hearts here this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.